seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and the last part of verse 16. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 7, and the last part of verse 16. That God hath visited his people. Luke's Gospel, chapter 7, and the last part of verse 16. That God hath visited his people. We live in a most solemn time and a solemn day where, as we look around, not only in this nation but too throughout the earth, can it not truly be said that God hath visited his people? In two solemn, searching ways, really. First, in judgment, and secondly, in mercy. And if we've got a real religion, we shall know both sides. We shall know the solemn judgments of the earth, of God manifested in the earth, and we shall know in our souls a little of his wondrous mercy. Now, these words seem to rest upon me much yesterday, and well, for a few days really, thinking of the solemn afflictions upon this nation, and to the floods that have been sent of late, God's solemn judgments. We read, don't we, in the Psalms what the Lord said, by terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. You see, everything is in the Lord's hand. We often forget that, don't we? We sing in the hymn, but do we understand what the hymn writer really meant when he said, all events are at his command? And immediately, in thinking upon that, the case of the children of Israel seemed to stand before me. You will remember, and we read of it in the lesson, that the Lord commanded Moses to take the children of Israel out of Egypt and to lead them through the wilderness journey to the promised land of Canaan. And Pharaoh did all he could to keep them in Egypt, refused to let them go. But what did the Lord do? He used solemn, searching means to make Pharaoh willing to let them go. You know, man's heart, and I thought of it so much as we read together the lesson this morning, how hard man's heart is by nature. And we cannot soften it ourselves. If we know anything, if we're taught by the Lord and truly fear him, we shall know what it is to feel the hardness of our heart. And how hard Pharaoh was. And not only that, the Lord hardened his heart. And you think of the solemn day in which we live, how very few really fear the Lord. How very few regard the Lord's day or regard his word. They're hardened against it because their hearts are hardened against God. And that's how we are by nature. We've no stones to cast at any. But you know, the Lord had softened Moses' heart and Aaron's, so they feared the Lord. And the Lord was to honour them. He says, they that honour me, I will honour. And what was he to do in Egypt to bring the people out? The Lord was to send terrible things in righteousness. You think of how they must have felt. The Lord used firstly these frogs. They didn't just arrive in the gardens. They arrived in the house of Pharaoh, in the houses of his servants, in the ovens, everywhere. In the kneading troughs. It was the voice of God. Him visiting Egypt. You know, when the Lord visits, he makes his presence known, whether it's in his wrath or whether it's in his mercy. And here, we see how wonderfully, really, all things are in the Lord's hand. May that be of comfort to your heart and mine this morning. You know, we often look at the frogs or we look at the lice or we look at other things like we are told here, the flies. And then in the following chapter, he goes even further, which I'll look at in a moment. But you think of those three things, we look at them, and they're all God's creation. And he used them as the means in his hand to bring down Pharaoh from all his hardness. He visited the land of Egypt. Our text says, doesn't it very clearly, and the Holy Spirit has wonderfully left it on record, that God hath. He didn't say he may do, or perhaps he would. He hath visited his people. But the wonderful thing was, and you can read it again at your leisure throughout this chapter and the following, the wonderfully wonderful way that he brought it right home to Pharaoh and to his servants and to the inhabitants of Egypt in solemn wrath. But what about the Lord's dear people? He freed them from them. There... In the land, the Lord was to wonderfully preserve and protect his dear people. There was a beautiful word dropped into my heart when I awoke this morning. thinking of these plagues, thinking of what the Lord had sent upon the Egyptians, and thinking of what the Lord was using to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. You see, the plagues didn't come to the children of Israel, but the plagues affected all the Egyptians. Oh, it did. And this word, you know, dropped in, that no plague shall come near thy dwelling. And you know, that was very sweet to me. No plague shall come near thy dwelling. And if you read closely in the experience of the children of Israel, the Lord was to keep them free from it. Oh yes. Now that doesn't leave us any room for complacency or to think we can do as we like, or they could. It's only as he preserves us from the plagues, and the same applies in the land today, and he can do it. It's only as he was to preserve the souls of the people, God's dear children of Israel, else they would have been just the same as those in Egypt. And hardened and rebellious and too going after the things of Egypt. You see, Egypt was a type of this world. You know, the world has all its pleasures. You know, in the day of Moses and Egypt, it was one of the greatest parts of the earth in those days. The pleasures of it were great, weren't they? The pleasures today are great. And if the Lord is pleased to visit his people, he will visit them in calling them by his grace, weaning them of the world, weaning them of the pleasures of Egypt. Oh, you think of what the apostle said concerning dear Moses. By faith, I love that, you know. He chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The Lord was to wonderfully recompense him and reward him with his grace, with God's fear, with the blessings of heaven, of pardon and of peace. He weaned him of all Egypt. Oh, he did. And really, you know, be a wonderful thing if the Lord were to use, well, take the floods, take the affliction about to die, which are many are being affected by it, as a voice, you see. God hath visited his people. All things are in his hand, as I said earlier, and he can use just what he pleases when he visits his people. Look here, you may say, well, unlikely sort of things. He used firstly the frogs, then what did he do? He used lice. And then he used the flies. And then in the following chapter, the rain, and then he afflicts them with boils. You think of it. Think of dear Job. Afflicted from head to foot with them. And then further, what did the Lord do? He sent thunder and hail upon the land. If you read the following chapter, really, it must have made many of them tremble. But why I read this, we read this together this morning, there was a word that seemed to so rest upon me in that eighth chapter. And it was this, what the magician said before Pharaoh. This is the finger of God. You see, he only has to put his finger on a nation such as England or Great Britain, such as he did on China, the finger of God. Think of what Job said in that 37th chapter. It's a beautiful word to me. He causeth it to come, whether for correction or for his land or for mercy. And sometimes with the Lord's dear children, it's for all three. They need correction. And then he causeth it to come, and you think of Job when he penned that word, he causeth it to come. What was he looking at? A thunderstorm, the lightning, hearing the thunder, the rain descending. Many of us, and you dear children, have looked often at a thunderstorm. We've got a calendar at home that our friends in Australia send us each year on the meteorological calendar that shows the beauties of the sky. And on it is some wonderful views of lightning and the effect of it. And you know, I often think about that. Job viewed this and he said he caused it to come, whether for correction. It may be, you know, he sent this upon this nation to correct us. It'd be a wonderful thing if the Lord were pleased to use it to call many by his grace, to open blind eyes, to unstop deaf ears. May we be able to say what's in our text. The Lord bring us out of it. God hath visited his people. But then think of it in correction. We need, you see, the Lord to correct us, don't we? Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. You know, nothing. No affliction comes by chance. Oh no. I often think of that word, he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. It's all the result of sin. Oh, it is. You know, before Adam fell in the Garden of Eden, there was no affliction. There was no pain. There was no anguish. He was at peace with God. But as soon as sin entered, so did affliction, so did trouble, so did sorrow, so did grief. And it's been so ever since. All because of, as one of the old preachers used to say, that three lettered word, sin. It's the root of all trouble, the root of all affliction. Correction. And then for his land. Well, you think of the land of your own heart. You know, the Lord is the heavenly husbandman, and he looks at our heart, yours, mine, and he sees us exactly as we are. We may put our religion on with our best clothes, but there'll be nothing in our heart. The Lord looks at the heart. His land, you see, it's not ours, it's his land. The day's going to come with you and with me, poor soul, when our souls will return to God that gave it. But how will it be with us? Will it be well? Have we known what it is to have sweet communion with the Lord here? And he has took possession of the land. You see, Pharaoh thought he owned the land of Egypt. But he soon had to find out that he didn't, didn't he? The Lord owned it all. And he sent the frogs. He sent the lice. He sent the flies. He sent the boils. He sent the hailstones. The land was the Lord's, not Pharaoh's. And think about the land in our heart. You know, what a wonderful mercy. When he causes things to come and it causes us to cry unto him. You think of Moses. How many times during these chapters he cries unto the Lord for the Lord's appearing? Oh, he does. And you know, often in the path of affliction, he brings us to cry unto him. For mercy, for his appearing, for him to work. That God hath visited his people. And then of course there's the land of Zion. Zion's in a very low ebb. There are very few that fear God, as I said earlier. Many of the churches. Many of our chapels are very low place. But does it cause us much concern? He causes it to come whether for correction or for his land. And so often he causes these things to come. It may be a cross and providence. It may be something in the family. And he causes it to come. It doesn't come by chance. This affliction upon the nation hasn't come by chance. He hath caused it to come. It's all in the hand of the Lord, just as it was in the lesson we read in this chapter. You see, but the plague came not near his dear children. There was a wonderful mercy in it. You see, he says for mercy. It's a wonderful thing when you can see in what you're in, mercy inscribed in it all. It's a very sweet theme, isn't it, when there's mercy in it. My dear Mr. Burnham, when he said mercy that is transportingly sweet, and it is. You know, really the children of Israel had much to praise the Lord for here because they could see in it his mercy. How he was dealing with them and with the Egyptians and with Pharaoh to make him willing to let them go to the promised land. Egypt was not their home. But you know, there's some solemn, and it's been with me much since the text came, some solemn records in God's word where the Lord visited his people Recently we preached from it here about Dear Peter. I think I read it at the prayer meeting the other Thursday, in that 12th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. And there we see how everything was in the Lord's hand. There was Dear Peter, shut up in prison. That God was to visit his people. God hath visited his people, the text says. And you think of Peter. There he was, shut up in prison. But what was the Church of God doing? They weren't sitting at home and say, oh well, it's the Lord's will he should be in prison. They all went to prayer. Oh, they did. There they were in that house, pleading for his deliverance. God was to visit Peter in prison. He was to send his angel. And what was he to do? He was to set him free. It didn't matter how many chains were put on him. It didn't matter how many soldiers there were surrounding him. Look how wonderfully the Lord works. He sent his angel into the prison. The soldiers slept. Oh, they did. The Lord had caused them to sleep. And the Lord caused those chains just to fall off Peter. When God visits his people, you know he does everything for them. Even to put down the enemies. And you think of Herod so hated Peter, and he'd already killed James, the brother of John. And Herod, you see, was an evil man. We're surrounded in this nation with evil workers. All they want is their own ends, and all they want are the things of time. But here, with Dear Peter, you see, God visited his people in sending them to prayer. And then he visits Peter and sends his angel and looses the dear man from all the chains of the prison. And brings him out, and even the gate of the city opened of its own accord. You know, I often think it's a wonderful thing that was, you know. Nothing could hinder him being brought out. But what was so searching to me, and it seemed to come to me when this text came, there's the blessed side to it, his mercy. But there's a solemn side. And what about Herod? Well, we read this. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, and sat upon his throne, and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god, and not of a man. There they were, setting him up above the God of heaven. Exhorting the man, you see. He that exhorteth himself, we read in the word of God, shall be abased. But he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And what happened? And immediately, God was to visit him. And immediately, the angel of the Lord smote him. Because he gave not God the glory. What about you and what about me? Do we know what it is to give God the glory? Peter did when he came out of the prison. So did those in the house. It was all the work of God. And what about Herod? Because he gave not God the glory. He was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. You see, God visited him in solemn judgment. And you know, may we lay these things to heart. When you think of what's come upon the nation with the floods, the being of late, and then with this coronavirus, God is visiting the nation in his wrath. It's very solemn, you know. But oh, what about the real child of God? You think of that beautiful word that I named earlier, what came to me so powerfully this morning as we woke. And may the Holy Spirit apply it to each one of us, if it be his holy will. It's, as I have said many times before, a comprehensive word. And it is this. There shall no evil befall thee. Think of that. There shall no evil befall thee. There may be one tempted soul here this morning saying, oh, well, all these things have come and some evil shall befall us. And we fear, don't we? We're creatures of fear. But what does the Lord say? There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come near thy dwelling. It's a wonderful word, you know. And you think of Peter, or the evil that Herod breathed out against Peter and casting him into prison because he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ. But no evil was to come upon dear Peter. Oh no. The evil was to come upon Herod. Oh, it was. And that is exceedingly solemn. May it stir us each up that we might plead with the Lord that he in his mercy might remember us in the midst of deserved wrath. Remember mercy still. That God hath visited his people. Now let us, before I leave it this morning, just look a little what when this word was spoken. It was spoken when the Saviour had gone into the city of Nain. And in that city, there was a dear woman whose son had died, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. You see, he was to visit personally that city. We're not told whether it's just for this dear child, the son of this dear widow woman. He may have only visited it for others. But when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, weep not. There was much to make the dear woman weep. Oh, there was. And there may be much in your heart and in your pathway and in all you're walking through today to make you weep. But What to put it all right when the Lord visits you? When he visits you. What does the hymn writer say? When Jesus with his mighty love visits my troubled breast, what happens? My doubts subside, my fears remove, and I'm completely blessed. Well, let me ask you this question. Do you pray for a visit from Zion's King, the Lord, to visit you? What a wonderful mercy when he visits us in his love and in his mercy. And here with this dear woman and with her son, God was to visit them. And he came and he touched the bier. They that bare it stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. There he was dead. Young man, I say unto thee, arise. Rise from all thy deadness, all thy coldness, all of the death that is in thee. Nothing could hold him. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all. And they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. And that God hath visited his people. It was a wonderful visit to this dear woman, wasn't it? Now, I've tried this morning briefly to set before you the solemn side of the visits of God. But there are the blessed sides. Oh, there are. Some of us know when he's visited us because of our sin and laid us ever so low. What did David say? He brought me up out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. David knew what it was to be in the depths. There are many things that bring us into the depths. Our afflictions, our sins, our unbelief, the enemy, Satan, when he tries to attack and we're in the depths. But when the Lord visits you, he'll bring you right up out of it. He did this dear lad, you see, and delivered the dear mother too, didn't he? And there came a fear on all, but listen, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us. And that great prophet was none other than the Lord Jesus. And that God hath visited his people. He hath visited his people. And may the Lord favour us as we venture on to know more and more of his visits. Oh yes. But let me ask you this question and I'll leave it. Are you praying for it? You look throughout God's word, I think if I remember rightly, there's many times throughout God's word where there were those that prayed for the Lord to visit them. The psalmist did, visit me with thy salvation. Is that your prayer? And what does salvation mean? Full and complete deliverance. And he alone can deliver, like he did the children of Israel, all from all the bondage of Egypt. He can deliver this nation in a moment from all the floods, from all the afflictions, if it's his holy will. But may we learn the lesson through it, like Peter did in the prison, and like many throughout God's word, David did in the depths. And our souls, you see, the Lord teaches the souls of his people, and he teaches them to profit, that our souls might be profited. But above everything, that the Lord might be glorified and praised. Amen.